So I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Chuck Walker, who you just heard from, who's a postdoctoral scholar with us, and Zach Larson, who you'll hear from next, is a master's student just finishing up right now. So why do we worry about estrogens? Because people don't like the headlines that go along with estrogen compounds in water. So one of the things that we are trying to do is get some background data on estrone as the estrogen of interest to us right now. A lot of data is published by others around 17-beta estradiol, but there's there's less information around estrone. And generally, those estrogen sorption studies are conducted at fairly high concentrations just because of analytical limitations. But soil and water environments have hormones at low concentrations, nanograms per liter, so that's a little less explored area of research. Just to give you a sense of some of the research that's going on, I'll not spend lots of time on this, but just to point out that three key studies that are often quoted in the literature dating back to 2000 have different equilibration times for sorption studies, ranging from about half an hour up to about 48 hours. There are two kinds of studies that have been conducted to obtain sorption characteristics, either a batch study where you put soil, water, mix it together and shake it for a while and do an extraction, as well as a column study, which is a flow interruption study that Linda Lee and colleagues did in the early 2000s. As Chuck mentioned, our focus right now is on estrone. Colucci and Top out of Canada did some work published in early 2000s, equilibrated soils with aqueous solutions of tritium, labeled estrogens. They were looking at 17-beta estradiol and 17-alpha ethanol estradiol. The reason for using tritiated estrogens was it really enhanced sensitivity over carbon-14 labeled materials. Just to give you a sense of what that means, specific activity of tritium-labeled estrone would be about 60 curies per millimole, but the specific activity of C14-labeled estrone would be about 60 millicuries per millimole, so about a 1,000-fold increase in sensitivity. One of the concerns around using tritiated compounds has to do with the exchange of tritium with hydrogens in the water. And so Colucci and Top looked at that, and they found that the tritium atoms, when they were substituted on positions 6 and 7 of the estrone, had no significant tritium exchange with the bulk water. So we want to use a similar kind of labeled material with respect to estrone. Soil, you've heard, is Hagerstown silt loam. This will give you some of the information about it. It's about a 1.1% organic carbon content. So we used tritium-labeled estrone from American Radio-labeled chemicals, labeled at positions 6 and 7. So basically, there's where the tritium labels are located on on that compound. We used, for this portion of the study, we used 2/10 of a gram of soil, 10 mils of aqueous estrone solutions. We did a couple of these studies. Initially, we looked at a range from 1 nanogram per liter up to just over 10 to the 6 nanograms per liter. Be a following study that I'll talk about, and we didn't go quite that high because around 1.4, 1.5 times 10 to 6 nanograms per liter, we're reaching aqueous solubility limits, and so we were concerned that we'd get an impact on our results from that. We used 0.005 molar calcium chloride just to make sure that we didn't have try and simulate the soil solution composition, and we used 0.001 molar mercuric chloride to eliminate biodegradation. We covered the estrone solutions as we were shaking them so that they wouldn't be interfered with by light, so that we wouldn't get degradation of estrone by light, because that is one way that estrone degrades. And we shook, initially we shook them for 24 hours, then centrifuged the samples for 10 minutes and collected half a mil for liquid scintillation counting. There are two ways of looking at sorption. One is to consider sorption as a linear process. Another is to describe it through a basically a power relationship. where the amount of material sorbed, say in micrograms per gram, is equal to either a distribution coefficient, a linear distribution coefficient, times the equilibrium concentration in the soil solution, or a Frohnle-Gaisser theorem, which basically looks at that similar relationship, but the concentration in the soil solution is raised to a power of n. So if we look at our initial results, the log of the amount sorbed to the soil versus log of the amount in solution, we get a nice straight line. Looking at a Frohnle-Gaisser isotherm, or isotherm relationship, we find that we can get a Frohnle-Gaisser isotherm distribution coefficient of around 66 and an n of 0.94. So it's not perfectly linear, but it's fairly close to being linear. That's in contrast to a couple other studies that were done that I showed earlier on, where n was down around 0.75. So if we look at this on instead of a log-log scale, it allows us to see that our Frohnle-Gaisser equation does a really nice job of fitting the data, except at the high levels we see that there's a little bit of greater deviation from the line with respect to the actual data points compared with the linear response. And this is across the entire range then of concentrations that we looked at, from 10 to the minus 3 up to 10 to the third nanograms per mil. If we look at the low concentrations and high concentrations and separate out our response curves, at the high concentrations of around just over 1 nanogram per mil up to 10 to the third nanograms per mil, we find that basically it looks like both the Frohnle-Gaisser and the linear give us a nice similar fit. So the fit is better if we just look at the higher concentrations of estrone in solution. And as we look at the low concentrations in solution, we also find a really good fit, both with Frohnle-Gaisser and with a linear isotherm. So we redid it, the experiment, because ideally you would expect the same isotherm to describe the full range of concentrations rather than have to look at a, sort of like a fitting of two linear equations, for example. Again, similar approach, except we use just a little bit lower concentration of estrone as a maximum. And we also looked at equilibration times ranging from 5 minutes to 192 hours. As I mentioned earlier on, we've looked at about a half hour up to 48 hours as the range of time, equilibration times in the literature. In terms of just our 24-hour results for comparison with what we saw before, again, going from 1 part per billion to 1 part per million, so our high range of concentrations, we end up with the Frohnle-Gaisser doing a little bit better job of fitting the data than linear, and we also see that the KF and the KDs aren't close to each other, and that's because this N value, departure from linear, is much less than 1, 0.87, 0.88. If we look at the lower concentrations, we see that the Frohnle-Gaisser and the KD, the linear distribution coefficients, are fairly close in magnitude, and we notice that the N for the Frohnle-Gaisser is basically very close to 1, so it's very nearly a linear response. So it appears that the relationship between amount sorbed on the soil and amount in soil solution, that relationship is going to differ whether the concentrations are low or high. And this kind of shows those that I just want to focus for the time on these KDs and log KOC. Log KOC basically means we've taken the KD, divided by the organic carbon content, and then basically taken the log of that. And at the high concentrations, the log KOC is around 3.4 to 3.5. At the lower concentrations, around 3.8 to 3.85. So a little bit higher log KOC at the lower concentrations. In other words, it's a little more tightly sorbed at the lower concentrations. If we look across the entire time frame, however, across all concentrations, so this is not separating out the low from the high concentrations, but across all concentrations, we find that the log KOCs vary from just under 3 to about 3.6 as we go from a 5-minute equilibration time to 192-hour equilibration time. And so this is indicating to us that obviously 5 minutes is not allowing us to reach equilibrium, but even our 24-hour and our 48-hour studies, we probably are not at equilibrium. And as I indicated, other studies that have been published so far are looking at this 24-hour to 48-hour time period as being the equilibration times which we assume equilibrium is reached. So this allows you just a little bit of comparison. If we look at Casey et al., log KOCs were 2.5 to 3 for 0.5 to 48-hour equilibration times. Lee et al., log KOCs around 3.2 for 12 to 48-hour equilibration times, and that was in a flow interruption study for column study. Lay et al. In 2000 didn't do a KD but got a KF. And as you can see, both Lee and Lay found that their end value is much less than 1, so it was very much nonlinear in its response. And then finally, just a summary of what we've got. So we went from 10 to the minus 6 to 1 milligrams per liter, approximately, was the range of concentrations. The times that we looked at were from 5 minutes to 192 hours. And we found our ends were much closer to linear than these two individuals found. We found that our log KOCs were around just under 3 to about 3.6 on average for all the data. So in summary, our KOC estimates are comparable to others' data for comparable time and concentration ranges. The sorption coefficients seem to vary, with equilibrium concentrations being greater at lower concentrations than we have at higher concentrations. And we're seeing a time dependence of sorption coefficients, which infers that even for the longer 192 hours, we may not have reached equilibrium ourselves. So that's a concern that we have. Do we need to run this thing even longer? Finally, I would say that if we take sorption coefficients then at high concentrations for 24-hour time periods, we may not be able to come up with a KD, a KOC, that we could fit into a model and accurately predict depth of transport. And that's sort of something that Chuck alluded to a little bit from his data. That's that.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Right.
What kind of effect do you think that might have?
Actually, one of the issues that we are concerned about is the mercuric chloride. We assume that it'll control biological activity, say 48 hours or 24, but 192, we're not really sure that we've really controlled biological activity. Probably you should have used sodium azide or something like that to be a little more certain.